let me ask you this, okay? I want to ask you this. Did Paul, okay, again, the Apostle Paul, the great church planter Paul, the lead theologian of the early church Paul, of whom we still derive our theology primarily from today, I ask you, did he come to faith in Jesus by studying his Bible? Well, what I mean is, did he just like look up one day and say, aha, I've gotten it all wrong all this time. Jesus really is the Messiah. Did he just declare that one day as he was reading and studying the book of Isaiah or something? No, right? If you know his story at all, the answer is no. But that actually he was on his way, get this, church, he was on his way to persecute followers of Jesus when suddenly God appeared to him in a great light and it knocked him off his horse and it blinded him. To which Paul said, who are you, Lord? What is going on? Who is behind this? To which he heard, well, it is I. It is I, Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Game changer. Game changer. And mind you, this was after Jesus had been killed. So this was a real game changer. A real game changer for Paul to hear and for Paul to experience, to which he declared, Jesus is the Messiah. And it changed his whole life, church. It changed all the pursuits of his life. The point, God's revealing of himself to Paul and this new relationship, this new realization with and of Jesus, well, that whole thing, it sent Paul somewhere. It sent him back to the scriptures, church. It sent him back to the scriptures, the Old Testament, with a new perspective, with a hunger to look for more information, with a hunger to find more direction for his life. And his, Paul's story, is my story too. His, Paul's story, is my story, and it's many of your stories as well. What I mean is that it is through circumstances, it is through people, it is through the movement of the Holy Spirit of God that God opens our eyes. He works to open our eyes, everyone's eyes. And through that, I came to meet Jesus. And again, so did many of you. And I'll tell you what, so will many of you if you haven't yet. And for me, and I hope again, many of you, we are still coming to know Jesus. We are still coming to know Jesus. We are still seeking to grow in our relationship with him through all of those things. The Holy Spirit, circumstances, other people, and the Bible, his word. And what all of this speaks of is this. The Bible, okay, as wonderful as it is not the foundation of our faith. Jesus, who died for us and rose again, is the foundation of our faith. And that, I'll tell you what, that I think is the important distinction. Because he, Jesus, he is the sure, he is the firm foundation from which everything else flows. So at the end of the day, we Christians, we are people learning about, we are people in love with, we are people growing in our learning of and our love of Jesus. And so we go to the Bible. We go to the Bible to learn more about him. We go to the Bible to learn more about us in light of who he is and in light of what he cares about. And we come to the Bible to better understand the life that he has for us. Have any of you been floundering in life? Well, let me ask you, how much of your life do you spend in the word, which is being in his very presence? And in saying all that, have you ever caught yourself when reading something, or maybe you heard someone quote something from the Bible? Have you ever caught yourself? Have you ever heard someone say, that was just what I needed to hear? I, in fact, have many times. Now, sometimes it was an encouragement that I needed, or a word of wisdom. Well, sometimes it gave me a fresh perspective, or a needed correction, a mid-course correction in my life. So as we continue our series today, When God Speaks, again, let's remind ourselves, okay, that God speaks to us in a variety of ways, but one of which, and a primary one at that, is through this, through the Bible, which we focus on today, which points us to Jesus first and foremost, but it does so much more than that. So today we look at how. Today we look at how and what kinds of things God speaks to us through the Bible. And you see, when we take time to read and to study the Bible regularly, whatever regularly looks like for you, but hopefully more tomorrow than today, and eventually to a point where you are in there every day, daily, when we do that, we learn who God is, church. We learn who He is, and we better understand what He wants for us, His good and His pleasing and His perfect will. And we learn to hear His voice because He speaks. He speaks. God speaks to us through the Bible. And by knowing the Bible, by being acquainted with it, that helps us, you see, to test all the other ways that we may think that God is speaking to us. For it is by the Bible that we test everything as Wesleyans. So with that, let's look right now at what the Bible says about itself. And our anchoring text today, it comes from the Apostle Paul, who I mentioned earlier. It comes from him in a letter that he wrote to Timothy, who was a younger pastor in a city called Ephesus. And Paul is writing to encourage this young man, okay, this young leader in the faith. And first in this letter, Paul encourages Timothy to follow Paul's example of what he calls sound teaching. Do your best, writes Paul, to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and as one who correctly, Paul writes, handles the word of truth. And then Paul writes this, our key passage for today, 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, writes Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all Scripture, he writes, is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what is the Bible? Well, Paul tells us that the Word of God is inspired, or God-breathed, the product, church, of God's very breath. The two Greek words used here are God and breath, thus the translation God-breathed, which calls us to remember something. It calls to mind the very creation account, doesn't it? That we read of in the book of Genesis, where God creates man, and then do you remember? God breathes. God breathes life into him. So God breathes his Holy Spirit, okay, into human authors, so that the final product, these inspired writings that we hold on to, that we do not change, that we do not add to, well, they are just, church, what God had in mind. In fact, I love how the Apostle Peter, in his letter, 2 Peter, how he says this. Look at 2 Peter 1, verse 20 to 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit of God. What this means for us is that as Paul, okay, the early leader of the church, as he creates this letter to Timothy and essentially to the church in Ephesus, as well as to us today, we have to know, okay, that he is carried along, he is inspired, he is directed, he is prompted by the Holy Spirit of God, church. So what is the Bible? What is it? Well, it is not the words of a human, but it is the words of God. The word of God that we rightly believe. And if you don't, you should heavily consider it, that the Bible is a very special gift to us, from God to us, from God to his people. And so as we read it, church, as we study it, as we apply it to our lives, do, in other words, what God asks us to do. Through all of that, we discover again who God is and what he has for us. Thus, for sure, God speaks. Amen. He speaks through the Bible. But let's talk more about to do what? Well, from our key verse, we see today that it is to teach us, to rebuke us or reproof, to correct us, and to train us in righteousness. All so that we can be what? We can be thoroughly equipped for every good work, right? Now, we'll get to these aspects in a minute, but first, okay? First, it is clear in this passage that the Bible explains how one can be rescued by Jesus Christ. Paul phrased it this way in our key verse of the day, that these holy scriptures, they can make us wise for what did it say, church? For salvation. Through whom, church? Through Jesus Christ. And what this means is something that I kind of breezed over earlier. You see, as we read the Bible, okay, we find out something. We find out the truth about ourselves, and that left to ourselves, we are lost. Left to ourselves, we are lost. We are lost and we are trapped. We are lost and trapped by what? By our sin. But what we also come to realize through the Bible is that through Jesus, God, he has opened up a way. He has opened up a way for us to be rescued. Rescued from ourselves. You see, as we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And we are free in that forgiveness to begin a whole new life. A whole new life. And what does this new life look like? And how do we live it well? Well, we read on. We read on more and more into our Bible. Because the path of this new life, do you know what? That's what we find in it. Which transitioned us to this nicely. What can the Bible do? So what can it do? Well, let me just say, first of all, it can do nothing. It can do nothing if you or I, if we never pick it up. It can do nothing if we never pick it up, if we never read it. Well, I guess it can make, as it does in far too many households, I guess it can make a good paperweight. It can be a good dust collector. But I'm telling you what, if we make it a part of our lives, church, a routine of the day, an input into our thoughts, impacting, you know what? Impacting our core values, impacting our life choices. Well, then, do you know what? It can transform us. It can transform us, and we can become, do you know what? We can become more like Jesus in that. And you know what? Little side note, I was thinking about this earlier. Sometimes I say that, let's become more like Jesus. And just being honest, maybe you are like, nah, no thanks. I was there one time in my life. Let's become more like Jesus. Nah, no thanks. Maybe you're like that. I don't want to. I don't want to become more like Jesus. And can I just tell you, I get that. I get that. I understand that. Maybe you think he was boring. Maybe you think he was just a killjoy or like some staunch rule follower who walked around saying, don't do this and don't do that. Well, if you think that is primarily who Jesus was and is and what he isn't about, then I'll tell you what, that is proof positive of something. That is proof positive that you don't really know your Bible. And maybe, maybe you don't really know Jesus. Now, did he and does he care about honoring his father? Did he and does he care about living a pure life? Sure. And does he wish you and I would do so more and more? Sure he does. But that didn't lead, I'm telling you what, that didn't lead to a boring life for him. It led to something that I know, okay? Something I know you are hungry for. Do you know what it led to for him? It led to peace for him. It led to peace for him. It led him to less drama in his life. Do you feel like you have too little peace? Do you feel like you have too much drama instead of peace? I ask again, how much are you in here? And is it enough? Because just like Jesus found peace in following his Father, so will you and so will I. And I'll tell you what else about my God. My God is an exchanger. He is an exchanger. He'll take the time, energy, and resources that we've spent on whatever vices or wastes of time that we have, and he'll show you and I, he'll show us a purpose, an exciting purpose of where we can exert all of that stuff. And you know what? You'll be able to declare with me more regularly, where would I rather be than right here and right now in the center of God's will for my life? And we can get on that path largely by hearing God speak through the Bible. And I say all that to say this, we have to, okay? You have to. You deserve it for yourself. You owe it to yourself to carve out some time with God through the Bible regularly. Because here's what the Bible can do. Let's get into it. The Bible, you know what? The Bible can teach us. Paul says, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that it, our Bible, is useful for teaching. So, for example, if you misunderstand who God is, if you have a distorted understanding of him, almost like I described as to why you wouldn't want to become more like Jesus, that, do you know what all that stuff does? It can keep you from God. And it can keep you, sadly, from the life that he has for you, which, mind you, is your best life. So how can you get an accurate picture of God? Well, you read and you study the Bible. And how can you know God's will? Again, his good, pleasing, and perfect will? Well, you read. You read and you study the Bible and you apply what you read. The Bible, you see, can teach us. If you think of life as a path for a second, think about life as a path, right? There are so many paths we can take, right? This teaching part, do you know what? It shows us the path to be on. That's what it does. God's word teaches us the path, the best path. What else can the Bible do? Well, from our scripture, the Bible can correct us, right? That's a way God speaks to us through it, okay? But warning, big warning. If you or I, if we come to the Bible with our mind made up and with our attitudes locked down, we will be called something that is this, uncoachable. Uncoachable. You see, a good coach will help you see the truth about your performance. A good coach will help you see the truth about your circumstances. And they will suggest things to you and I, new ways of thinking, new ways of acting. A good coach will say things like, you know, I think X happened because of that thing, Y, that you did. So why don't you try to fix it? And next time you're in this situation, try to handle it this way. And here's the thing, church. To profit from a coach, you have to be what, church? You have to be coachable. We have to be coachable. You and I, we have to be open to learning. We have to be humble. We have to be hungry for growth. And here's the thing. In almost every, and I'd love to just say every, I'd love to say it without the almost, but there may be the rare occasion, but I doubt it. based on my experience, but in almost every conflict, in almost every circumstantial problem, there is something you contributed to that. Maybe not in a medical situation, but I'm talking about in a relational situation or in our down and out times and situations, maybe even like a work situation, lack of work sometimes even. There is usually something, okay, we could learn. There is usually something we could do differently. And the Bible, okay, the Bible works to help us to see that. The Bible works to help us correct that. But the big picture again that you and I, we have to answer is, am I coachable? Honestly, ask yourself, are you? I mean, when the Bible, okay, think about it this way. When the Bible puts its finger on an attitude or an action in your life that is not of God and that needs to be changed, when that happens, are you grateful or are you frustrated and angry? And do you get defensive? When that happens, are you receptive or are you resistant? I hope, church, I hope that we can all grow in being grateful and being receptive. When God loves us, think about it. God loves us to know, to show us through his word, our wayward and our damaging ways. Because you know what? We are the ones who hurt. We are the ones who hurt, and we hurt others. So real quick, going back to this idea of a life being a path, okay? Well, God's teaching of us through the Bible, well, that shows us the path to be on, his correction of us. You know what that does? It helps us to get back on the path, his path, the best path, whenever we've wavered. That's what correction does. Now, in saying that, here's what else the Bible can do, okay? The Bible can bring out the best in you and I. It can bring out the best in us. Paul tells us that the Bible is useful for reproof or rebuke, right? And he also says it's useful for training in righteousness. God wants you and I to be righteous. He wants us to be right with him. He wants us to live in a way that pleases him and not to earn anything, but because it is good for you. It's good for you. It's good for others. And thus, we are all in training, okay? We are all in training as we follow Jesus. I think what would be helpful here is just to share just a quick example of how God's word trains us, how it trains us in righteousness. This comes from Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. He writes this: be wise in the way you act. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, non-Christians. Make the most, Paul goes on to write, of every opportunity. How do we do that, Paul? Well, I'm glad you asked, he would say. Here's how. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. Now, church, do you see, okay, how from just that little reading, I can ask and I can answer so much, and I can learn so much. I mean, I can ask, am I wise as I interact with people who don't know Jesus yet? Is my conversation always gracious? Is it seasoned with salt so that they want to hear more? Or am I pushing my agenda versus seeking to understand theirs so that we all can come to a better one together? Again, just an example, just good questions to wrestle with from just a simple seeming verse from the Bible and what that can present us with. Now, just sticking real quick with our path theme, God's teaching of us through the Bible shows us the path, right? We remember that. And then his correcting of us, it shows us how to get back on the path when we wavered off it. And then the reproof part or the rebuking part, well, that's to let us know when and where, okay? When and where we got off that path. It's almost like conviction, okay? And then this idea of the training in righteousness, well, that helps you and I. It helps us to be strong. It helps us to be wise. It helps us to be strong and wise to stay on said path. Which I'll tell you what, that is why it is so important to remain in God's word, even if you are walking fairly well with him, because it doesn't take much to get off the path. Church, the Bible does all that for us. And through all that, it is then that God can use the Bible. He can use the Bible to make you and I useful workers in his kingdom. That is where the so that of that verse comes in. God's word, it is working to do all that we've talked about so that the servant of God, you and I, okay, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen, I don't want to be, okay, I just don't want to be in a situation where God can use me and I find myself unprepared. I don't want to be in that situation. Unprepared when he could use me, lacking knowledge, lacking skill, having a rotten attitude. I want to be thoroughly equipped so that God can use me. And I think that's a good goal for you too. God provides, okay? He provides a rich resource for us. It's called the Bible, guys. And our part is to pick it up. Our part is to get into it. And you know what? There are all kinds of methods for that. There are all kinds of helps for that. In fact, if you need help reading the Bible, where to begin, what to do, just see me, okay? And I really sense, here's my sense for our church. I really sense this is a direction we will go in the near future, providing real helps for you to read the word. But in saying that, okay, what even has to come before that is related to our posture. It's related to the attitudes we bring to the Bible. In his book, Shaped by the Word, Robert Mulholland, he talks about the difference between informational and formational reading. When our goal, you see, is to get more information, you know what we do? We read critically, meaning we judge the book. We take from it what we like, we take from it what we can use, and we toss everything else aside. And I'm telling you what, depending on the resource, okay, that we're reading, there's really nothing wrong with that, with informational reading. But if we approach the Bible with that mindset, I'm just telling you right now, it won't have the power to shape us. It won't have the power to teach us. It won't have the power to make us more like Jesus, who was where? He was at peace. We have to come to the Bible. We have to come to God's word, knowing it's God's word, trusting it's God's word. We have to come to the Bible seeking. We have to come to the Bible ready to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. And we have to come being willing to do what he says. That's where the transformation comes. So in short, we have to come to the Bible in this manner, okay? With a humble spirit. A humble spirit, an open heart, an open mind, which will open doors for you and I as we read it. In that posture, and only that posture, I tell you, are we truly giving God, mind you, the God of the universe, the God of all creation, the God with the best path, our best path, only in that are we giving him a true opportunity to speak to his maximum in our lives. So church, I'm just telling you that the Bible isn't old. The Bible isn't irrelevant. But it is ever new. It is timeless. And you know what else the Bible isn't? It's not a hobby. And we don't read it to find out when Jesus is coming back. We read it to do what the Bible tells us so that we will be ready when he comes back. That is a whole different agenda, church. And you know what else? The Bible, it isn't an idol. We don't worship it. But it is a gift. It is a gift. And in saying that, the Bible's a treasure, okay? Go unpack it. It's a treasure. Do so yourself. Do so in community groups or small groups. And just see what God may show you. I want to invite the worship team forward as we pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are just so, so good. Lord, so often, So often we're, and when I say we, I'm talking to myself. So often I'm like, what's your will for my life? What's your purpose? It's in the book. It's in the book. And Lord, what's beautiful about our relationship with you and how you've created us is you give us some guiding principles of which to live, and many of which are to just love people into the kingdom of God, to share Jesus with them, but you don't give us all these parameters of how to do it. You have created us unique. You've created us in creative measures, and you've given us passions. You've given us just desires. And Lord, we can use those to fulfill our purpose. But Lord, so many times we have so much junk in our lives that wasn't your plan. And it clouds us. It distracts us. It wastes our resources. And Lord, I want to be a person personally that's thoroughly equipped when you say it's go time. And I pray that each person in this room would want that as well. And thus, we would treat the Bible as your word. We would be in it more than we are today than we were yesterday. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for life. Thank you for truth. Thank you for Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.